to welcome you to our service this morning and trust the Lord will bless our coming together in his name this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy presence and help to meet together around thy word. We pray that we'll be encouraged and blessed through thy word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, we welcome all who are joining in online as well this morning. We trust that the Lord will bless everyone who's joining with us on this occasion as we meet together in the house of the Lord today. We appreciate your continuing to comply with the restrictions. We realise infections are still out there, and so we need to be careful with all that we do in relation to the house of the Lord and meeting together, and we appreciate your compliance. The baskets at the exits for your offerings, Missionary Council retiring offerings, are today, and separate baskets for this. We thank you for your special harvest offering for the building fund that reached £7,055. We appreciate your generosity. If you haven't had an opportunity to contribute to that and you want to, then you can do so as long as you mark it for the building fund or for the harvest collection that will go to that. Gospel evening service tonight at 7. I will be the preacher myself. The subject, preparation for heaven. And that's a very vital subject, and we're continuing in Revelation chapter 22 this evening. Do come and join us for the time around God's Word tonight at 7 p.m. Remember the prayer meeting also before the service, 6:20, 6:45 in the youth room upstairs. Monday, our little Sunbeams parent and toddlers resumes from 10:30 to 11:30, just 1 hour. We changed the time, and it is 1 hour just because of present circumstances, so please remember that if you're planning to bring your child, your children, grandchildren, or children you care for or look after, please do let Louise know beforehand. That would be helpful. Volunteers to help, greatly appreciated, and all health restrictions apply. Tuesday at 8 p.m. is our Bible study and prayer meeting in the church hall. I will be the preacher myself. We encourage you to come and attend the prayer meeting and Bible study. Friday night, here at 8 p.m, a youth council rally for youth fellowships, and we encourage young people to attend, to come along, join with us, and I hope to bring a message at that meeting on Friday night here at 8 p.m. We will resume the fellowship then soon after this at the end of the month, so we encourage young people again to attend our youth fellowship and join with us. Next Lord's Day is Sunday school at 10, family worship 11:30, doors open from 11, gospel service preceded by the prayer meeting, gospel service at 7, preceded by a prayer meeting at the time I've mentioned earlier. Naomi will minister in song in the evening service. I'll be the preacher at all of these services next Lord's Day. Remember those who have sicknesses at this time, treatment ongoing for Sister Mary, is a couple of weeks there. It didn't happen for her, it wasn't taking place, so do remember that, that it will happen this week. As planned, remember Irene McBurney as she goes in to get the operation this week. It's due for the entrance to hospital on Thursday, I think the operation Friday, so remember that please. And others who are going through various stages of treatments, and do remember all of these. Mr. Barnes of course was in hospital, he's now got home, he's doing well. And no family appreciate your prayers for him and for Mrs. Barnes as they recover. Our brother Calvin Stripp is in hospital. He's at this time struggling with breathing. So do please, I've been in touch with Hilary today, and do remember that situation. He's in Golden Hospital. So pray for him that he will get ease with his breathing and he will recover. Remember that situation in your prayers today, please. Of course, remember the family circle. We had a message from our sister Phyllis Kitchen. Phyllis had been ill, she had a bad fall and so forth. She sent a message. I'm going to pin it to the board and I'm going to read it all out to you. But they're remembering us here in Ballygowan. Of course, they're able to link into our services. So hello to Phyllis and Bill this morning. You're still welcome back in person in Ballygowan. We do pray that the Lord's hand will be upon Phyllis. She's improving greatly, and do continue to pray for her. But that will be on the board there after the service. We hope to start Awana, God willing. Again, these things can change from week to week, as you know, but we hope to begin tentatively on the 1st of November. So parents and helpers and leaders, please take note of that. I think those are all the announcements that we have to make this morning. We're going to join the singing of the hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. 752, we're keeping our seats as we join in the singing, and then we'll stand, if you're able to stand, if you're not, please don't worry, for the prayer. Eternal Father, we humbly bow in thy presence to worship thee this morning, King of kings and Lord of lords. We adore thee, the great eternal God, the one who sits in the heavens, the one who is the great creator. We thank thee, O God, as we look around us today on this autumn Sabbath morning. We look at the trees, we see the autumn time and the indications again of thy great creation all around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. We are reminded of seed time and harvest. We are reminded of summer and winter, the seasons that thou hast given, the day and the night, and the stars, the moon, and all of thy creation. O God, we marvel. We rejoice. We thank thee today that we believe thy word, that thou art the great creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And Father, as we come, we bow down in humility before thee, at thy footstool this morning. We pray for thy presence here in this house. We thank thee for thy workings in our midst in saving power. We thank thee that thou art still among thy people.
We rejoice in the meetings last Lord's Day, and for Thy presence and working in saving grace. And we pray that Thou wilt continue to bless and continue to work even this Lord's Day, that souls will be brought into Thy kingdom. Those long prayed for will come to Christ. Others, O God, who join with us today, who are without Christ, may this day find the Saviour for Thy people, that they may be strengthened, encouraged, edified, built up, comforted. For those who need healing, that they will be healed. We pray for those that we pray for. Today we think of Mary with her treatment helper, that it will happen again this week, and she will get through these treatments. We pray for Raymond, that Thou will continue to touch him. Remember, O God, others too. We think of Irene. We pray for Thy touch upon her. We pray that Thou wilt remember her. And, O God, we pray that she may know Thy presence even today. And grant, Lord, that as she faces this surgery, that Thou wilt go before her, that it will be successful, and her recovery will be speedy and full. We ask, O God, that Thou wilt remember our brother Calvin today in hospital. We pray for healing for him, that Thou wilt ease this problem with breathing. And we pray for Hilary and the children today, for Maureen and for Carl too. Remember them all. And we pray that Thou wilt bless them. We pray that Thou wilt remember others. O God, we think of Eileen Jackson today. We pray for Eileen, Lord, that Thou wilt touch Eileen. Grant her that healing hand, that restoring touch. Remember Margaret too, that Thou wilt remember her and touch her. And O God, we pray that these folk will know that the Lord is with them. For others too in our congregation who have been affected by this virus or are isolating because of it, that Thou wilt remember families today who can't be with us because of that situation. Thank you for your touch on Reverend Barnes. Continue to touch him. Give him strength in his body again. Reverend Mrs. Barnes, remember the family and be gracious to them too in these days. Others of our ministers going through struggles with this virus and because of it, Lord, we pray for help. For Reverend Fitzsimons and for Reverend Smith and for Reverend Wilson, who has ongoing other illnesses. Remember him today. Remember Reverend Goods as well. O God, that these brethren will be restored, if it is your will, to wanted health and strength. We pray for our land today. Remember it in its hour of great need. We think of our nation, even with this awful tragedy of this MP being slain. Oh, we pray, Father, speak to our Prime Minister, the leader of our opposition in Westminster, and the leaders right across this nation. And Lord, turn the hearts of the people of this nation to Thee. Remember that dear family today, that dear wife and those children left. Comfort them, we pray, with that comfort wherewith we are comforted of God. And through this, lead souls to Christ. We thank Thee for Northern Ireland as we think of it today. And this centenary, 100 years, we rejoice in what Thou hast done. We pray that Thou wilt continue to bless this little land and favour us again, O God, we pray, with the mighty Holy Ghost, heaven sent awakening. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, boys and girls, we've been looking at the story of the 10 lepers. Now, I want you to think about numbers because we're coming to the quiz in a moment or two. There were 10 lepers, boys and girls, and of course, they came to Jesus. And we want to think about how many of them were healed and how many went back to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God was glorified even through the healing of these lepers. So I want you to think about that this morning. So we're going off screen now, boys and girls, and we're going to have the quiz. And then I've got a little bag this morning, boys and girls, and they're all covered sweet, so I haven't been handling them, boys and girls. So you can get one as you go out. I'll be out there on the steps. I'll be waiting for you. If you've answered a question, of course, that's the key. If you've answered a question, then you'll get a packet of sweets. It all depends on answering questions. Otherwise, I'm going to have a real feast as I go home today. Well, how many lepers came to Jesus to be healed? How many lepers came to Jesus to be healed? Yes, Benjamin. 10. Exactly right. You're up for, I don't know whether you're allowed to take it for lunch or not. That's up to your mum and dad now. But you get a packet anyway. Well, how many lepers were healed of their leprosy? Now, that's an easy one if you've listened to the first question. Yes? 10. Exactly right. You get a packet on the way out too. When were they healed? When were they healed? Now, if you think about it, when were they healed? When were they healed, boys and girls? Pardon? Immediately. Well, yes, okay, I'll give you. As they were going to tell the priest, they were healed. So that's exactly right. How many lepers returned to give the Lord thanks, boys and girls? How many lepers returned to give the Lord thanks? Oh, yes. One, that's right. One. Exactly right. One. Okay. What did this man do when he returned to the Lord Jesus? What did he do? He did something. What did he do when he returned to the Lord Jesus? What did he do, boys and girls? He returned to the Lord Jesus, and what did he do? Now, what do you do when you get something, or you should do it when you get a gift, maybe at Christmas on your birthday, from your granny or granddad, or your brother, or your sister, or your mum or your daddy? Yes, Reuben. He gave thanks. Exactly right. Exactly right. He gave thanks. He glorified God. Now, what was the first question Jesus asked this man when he went to him? This one man who went back, what did Jesus say to him? What did he say to him? He asked him a question. He asked him a question. What was the question he asked him? Anybody know the question he asked him? Where are the what? Where are the what? Where are the nine? Oh, that's one for me. That's one for me. Where are the nine? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the nine? Look, what did the Lord tell this man to do? He told him to do something. What did he tell him to do? There might be another one for me here. Might be another one for me. What did he tell him to do? Yes, what did he tell him to do? Somebody putting his hand up there? Go ahead. Well, I think for trying, you're going to get a second one. Boys, a dear, that's good. It's the private me of one. Well, what was it? No. It was arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That's what it was. But you'll get one for trying as well. So I think it's enough to go round there. Thank you, boys and girls. Now we're going to come to the chorus. Deep and wide, so all the actions. And, of course, we'll sit as we sing this. Just sing it through the once, boys and girls, and men and women this morning.
Run, run in, learn to send their combined. thank you, boys and girls, for taking part, and all of you for singing there the chorus together. We're reading together this morning from the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and reading from the verse 1. Deuteronomy, chapter 32, the fifth book of the Bible, and we're reading from the verse number 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, and all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? And hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He had found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led them about, he instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with him. Ending our reading at verse 12, we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired and errant and infallible word. We're singing the paraphrase 30 on the screen, and we'll keep our seats and then stand briefly, if you can, for prayer before we bring the word this morning. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. Paraphrase number 30.
Thank you.
us stand, if you're able, for prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. You may be seated. I want to think with you today on the centenary of Northern Ireland. You'll find the text in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and the verse number 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee. Thy elders and they will tell thee. In this year, there have been many events marking the centenary of Northern Ireland. Or are we land? Or are we country? As some people refer to it. When it came into being as a political entity in 1921, until now when we are in 2021, amazing, isn't it? The celebration of this centenary has created plenty of controversy, as you would expect, when we consider all of the context. But while many despise this little land, many delight in it, and in the fact that it is part of the union of the United Kingdom, which includes England, Scotland, and Wales. Many have cause to thank God for Northern Ireland. We were born here. We lived here. And we have benefited in so many ways from being here. And we have been blessed here. And as we look down the decades of time, for some a shorter period, for others a much longer stretch of time, we're thankful for all that this small part of the world means to us, not only in the physical, temporal sense, but also in the spiritual context. As we reflect upon the past today, and as we remember, our thoughts are drawn to the words of our text. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. There are those who tell us to forget the past, to consign it to the dustbin. But the Bible would have us remember our history, not to forget our roots, not to cast aside our heritage, nor to cast aside what has been done in past generations. And all that the generations that have passed have taught us this morning. Great-grandfathers, grandfathers, fathers, maybe aunts or uncles, or other family members have taught us these things through the years. And so we come to reflect upon the centenary of Northern Ireland this morning. The battles, the buffetings, and the blessings. I want to deal with it in a fivefold manner this morning. First of all, I want you to look at the stalwarts of this state. You see, the founding fathers of Northern Ireland stood in a day of great conflict. They were prepared to make sacrifices that were required to bring Northern Ireland into existence and to see to it that there was this link between us, this northeastern part of Ireland, and the rest of the United Kingdom. It has pleased the Lord to raise up through history those who have taken positions of government and to exercise power. And we recognize today, according to Romans 13 and 1, that the powers that be are ordained of God. And those who at the commencement of Northern Ireland formed its first government and were part of the first parliament, which met 100 years ago. It was a time of great conflict. And yet these stalwarts were prepared to take a stand amidst all of the difficulties, with all of the dangers, in the midst of a day of great darkness, in the face of all the challenges of that time, and in the midst of all the uncertainty, to lead Northern Ireland forward. And they did so, I suggest to you today, with great courage, with no little commitment, with great consistency, at a time when the enemies were many on every side. We think of what we owe to Sir Edward Carson and to James Craig, the first Prime Minister of Northern Ireland, and to those who with him took up positions in that first government of our country. Through such a period of awful turbulence and turmoil, they were men in their day who made a massive contribution to Northern Ireland. History records them. We often say, cometh the day, cometh the man. And this was certainly true of Carson, of Craig, and many others of that era. Let us never forget today their contribution to the governance of Northern Ireland in the most harrowing of circumstances. When their backs were to the wall, they were not found wanting. They conquered when at times all seemed to be against them and all appeared to be lost. This Bible that we have before us today records within its history those stalwarts of God's people Israel who stood against the odds and won the victory. We've been thinking in recent weeks of one, Joshua the Conqueror, who conquered and led the people of God into the land of Canaan. We think of those two who down through the decades of time, members of the RUC, of the Ulster Special Constabulary, the RUC Reserve, the Ulster Defence Regiment, members, other members of Her Majesty's Armed Forces, who stood between us and the enemy in a day of great conflict. The sacrifices endured, the sorrows that people went through. Northern Ireland has been privileged to have had stalwarts 100 years ago and since. Those who were steadfast and unmovable. And we salute their memory on this centenary today. And then I want you to think not only of the stalwarts of the state, but I want you to think secondly of the service of the saints. You see, throughout the history of Northern Ireland, through its 100 years, we notice the service of men and women and young people, both at home and abroad. And what tremendous blessing came to so many through their faithful endeavours. The missionaries who left these shores to go to work amongst the unreached, who sacrificed so much for the furtherance of the gospel, to preach the word of God in heathen lands. Whether it was in Brazil,
or whether it was in Africa, or some of the other countries, and amongst tribes unreached as well. Those who had never before heard the gospel, heard it from the lips of missionaries that came from Northern Ireland. And what an impact they made. People in those lands heard the gospel in their own tongue because people from Northern Ireland were prepared to learn the language of that country and learn their culture in order that they might bring the gospel to them. Others saw to it that the Bible was translated into the language of the people of that land or the lands where they went, so that the people for themselves, as they learned to read, could for themselves read the precious Word of God. Not only that, but there were those who went from Northern Ireland with their medical skills as doctors and nurses to help those people, to give them the medicines, to give them the surgery that they required, which they couldn't have got without the help of missionaries from this little part of the world. You think of the contribution of Dr. Bill Woods, a member of the Free Presbyterian Church who went to Brazil, who studied there to become a doctor, became trained as a specialist. A specialist eye surgeon treating those who were going blind through leprosy. And Dr. Woods, over many decades of time, did a massive amount of work in changing the lives of so many in Brazil by using the skills, the God-given skills that he was given in eye surgery. Up and down the Amazon he went, reaching out to so many who were desperately in need, not only in the physical sense, but also preaching to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing many won for Christ. There were those who went to places where never before missionaries had entered, into unevangelized fields, reaching tribes who had never heard anything of the gospel previously, never seen a white man before, putting themselves in great danger in doing so. Dr. Ron Johnson, who is now retired from ministry, but in his earlier days, he went to Papua New Guinea with his wife and children, taking the gospel to an unevangelized tribe, helping them in many practical ways, and others have gone there too since, and even are there at this time. The impact of missionaries from Northern Ireland in establishing churches in the field of medicine, in so many other practical ways, making a major contribution to so many nations across the globe. I haven't time to go into the actual history, but it's there. You can read it up for yourself. People who have made contributions to the nations of the world include many godly people, many people who were missionaries, who in that particular era that they lived or worked made an impact in those countries. And of course we have the service of saints at home too, in our cities, in our towns and villages, in our country districts across Northern Ireland, through their local churches even to this time. The outreach programs, the mission halls, all endeavouring to reach families and friends and neighbours, work colleagues, school friends, those that were being educated alongside them in colleges and universities. All of this, my friends, is part of the service of the saints in fulfilling, dear friends, the work of the Great Commission, which says in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is what God has called the church to do, to go into all the world, to preach the gospel to men and women and to boys and girls, to take the word of God, the service of the saints. And then thirdly this morning, I want you to think about the salvation of souls. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise.
And over these 100 years of our history, Northern Ireland has seen the salvation of thousands of precious souls. And today, if you're saved, you're part of that. You have been saved during these 100 years. Think about that this morning. W.P. Nicholson made a significant impact under God in the years that followed the establishment of the separate parliament for Northern Ireland. You see, this separation, this beginning of the state of Northern Ireland, had left the country in a state of political turmoil and uncertainty. And the province of Ulster at the time was filled with a sense of fear and even of hopelessness. It was at this time that W.P. Nicholson returned to Ulster from Scotland. And upon his arrival, he returned to his home in Bangor to visit his elderly mother and to recuperate from an appendicitis operation. And while he was there, he was persuaded by his old friend and Bible class teacher, Mr. S.G. Montgomery, to hold a mission in his hometown. And this he did in October 1920 in Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church. And hundreds of men and women were converted to Christ. And this mission in Hamilton Road Presbyterian Church at that time heralded the beginning of a new revival and spiritual awakening throughout Ulster. Subsequent to that, in May 1921, W.P. Nicholson commenced a mission in Portadown. And the record says that 900 names were registered as those who had accepted Christ, and whole families were completed in the same. I quote from the record, it says, "Notable brands were plucked from the burning. And they make no secret of their changed lives." Unquote. In September 1921, in High Street Presbyterian Church in Lurgan, nearly 1,000 people came to know Christ. In November 1921, in Utnahar, in Stream Presbyterian Church, a mission was held, the attendance being so great it had to be moved to the larger church of First Newton Arms. Soon afterwards, a mission was held in Lisburn, in the Orange Hall, and in Railway Street Presbyterian Church. Over 2,000 souls came to Christ. 1,950 were dealt with in the inquiry room itself. Over 700 names were registered in one church in Lisburn at that time as having come to Christ. The Shankill Road Mission, beside which I laboured myself for many years. That mission was held when the political troubles were at their worst in the city. And people travelling by tram, as they did in those days, to the mission, had to lie on the floor of the tram to avoid being hit by the rifle bullets that were being fired. 2,260 men, women and young people passed through the inquiry rooms. And nearly all of them were led, it is believed, to definite conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. In March 1922, a mission was held in Ewington Presbyterian Church in the Limestone Road. Some nights 2,000 people were jammed into that church. And converts of the mission numbered 1,100. In Londonderry, 1,500 people came to Christ. In Sandy Row, the large hall of the Cripples Institute, W.P. Nicholson conducted a mission. In September 1922, over 400 passed through the inquiry rooms. In October 1922, he held a mission in Rosemary Street, the historic Rosemary Street Presbyterian Church. And then moving on to St. Enoch's Presbyterian Church, and many of you will have recognized that building. It's no longer there, but it used to be there famously at Carlisle Circus. It was at the time the largest Presbyterian building on the European side of the Atlantic. 1,500 passed through the inquiry rooms of St. Enoch's alone. And so we could go on to Newton Arch Road Methodist Church, where the shipyard workers marched from their workplace up to that building and heard the gospel. And hundreds came to Christ.
Second mission was held in East Belfast in Ravenhill Presbyterian Church in February 1923. So great was the crowd of shipyard workers seeking to get into the building, they marched from Queen's Island up the Ravenhill Road with the Salvation Army band leading. And they were trying to get into the building. So many of them, they got wedged between the pillars, and so fierce was the struggle that the central pillar was moved out of its place. Hundreds came to Christ. In fact, so great was the move in Ravenhill Presbyterian Church and in East Belfast at that time that new sheds had to be built in Harland and Wolff shipyard to house the number of tools that were being returned that people had stolen in their unsaved days. You see, a real work of grace was wrought. We could go on to mention missions in Ballymena and Carrickfergus, where God moved in a mighty way. It was truly a time of the right hand of God, times of refreshing from the presence of God. And Northern Ireland has been blessed with mighty preachers. We had, and were privileged to have in our midst, Dr. Paisley for many years, a mighty winner of souls through his ministry. Thousands of souls were brought to Christ across this land and further afield through the missions that Dr. Paisley held in Rathfrieland even before the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church. Hundreds of souls were saved. In Crossgar, at the beginning of the denomination 1951, some 90 plus souls were brought to Christ 70 years ago. The missions in Ballymena on a number of occasions in Gallon Macrafelt, the Temperance Hall in Tandragee at the commencement of the Tandragee Church, and many others right throughout Northern Ireland, resulting in the formation of Free Presbyterian congregations that are still ongoing today. His powerful ministry in the old Ravenhill Church at Glentoran Street, in the Ulster Hall at Martyrs Memorial, resulted in the transformation of many hundreds, even thousands of precious souls. And many others too, down through the years, holding missions here, there, and yonder throughout this land, seeing many swept into the kingdom of God, churches and halls and barns and tents, in open-air gatherings. The Word of God was preached and souls were brought to Christ. And we say this morning, to God be the glory. What a heritage we have in this land. There are many who would seek to take that away from us today. But we hold and we cherish that heritage of the gospel, the salvation of souls. And God is still here, there and yonder, still bringing souls into the kingdom of God. And maybe even this morning, God would bring you into the kingdom of God. You who are yet unsaved. Yet out of Christ. That this morning you would be saved. And trust the Savior. Then there's the separation unto the Savior. You see, after a time of great blessing, often it happens that liberalism sets in and apostasy and compromise, and it entered into the main denominations in this land. That brought about the formation of the Free Presbyterian Church on the 17th of March 1951 in Crossgar, 70 years ago. You see, there was in Irish Presbyterianism at the time, and in other denominations too, the acceptance of heresy. In the Irish Presbyterian case, it was the heresy of J. David, who denied the deity of Christ and the blood of Christ. And yet he became a professor in the college and eventually was made moderator of that church. And the Free Presbyterian Church stand was a stand for the faith of the gospel. And at that time too, you had the World Council of Churches. You had the Irish Council of Churches. I know the Presbyterians have since left the World Council of Churches, but they are still part of the Irish Council of Churches, which involves what they call the four main churches. You've heard that even this week is going to be a service involving the four main churches.
You see, all this ecumenical charade has been going on down through the years and sowing in our midst throughout this land this leaven of ecumenism and apostasy and departure from the Word of God. And God has called us to a separation unto God outside the camp for Christ, to preach the pure, undiluted gospel of Christ, not some milk and water version of the Bible or of the gospel. And since that time to this day, there's been a call to the people of God to separate from the great apostasy, to heed the command of 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, come out from among her and be separate and touch not the unclean thing. And God has called us to this separation from ecclesiastical apostasy. And that is still our stand today. That's where we stand. We stand for the Word of God, for the truth of the gospel. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. And God has called us to be separate, to separate from those who have departed from the Word of God, who have denied the faith, and to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, Jude 3. I finish with this thought, the steadfastness of his servants. God has called us to be steadfast in this centenary. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with God. Christ hath made us free and been unentangled again with the yoke of bondage, Galatians 5:1. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And brethren and sisters, today we are to remain true to Christ as our forefathers did, to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Romans 1:16. To endure to the end, not to be shifted, not to be blown about with every wind of doctrine. You know, people want to be popular, and even among Christians there is this notion, I want to go with the flow, I want to go with the crowd, I want to be where there is a crowd. They're blown about with all of this liberalism and all of this falsehood and all of this contemporary worship, and all of these things are a departure from the Word of God. A departure from true worship. There's a departure still today from true doctrine. What examples we have cited before you in these 100 years, and many, many others we could have cited, of godly men and women who sacrificed so much for the cause of Christ to give to us this wonderful heritage of the gospel we have today. You think of parents and grandparents. You think of those who lived for the Bible and lived by the Bible and who stood for the faith, who surrendered their lives lock, stock and barrel for the cause of the gospel. And so as today we review the past and reflect upon it and remember it as we ought to do. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father and he will show thee. I used to ask my father about the olden days. He used to tell me about those meetings that he attended at W.P. Nicholson. He used to tell me about the great gospel missions he attended. The heritage that I have today, given to me by my parents too. What my wife has was given by her parents as well. Many of you sitting in these pews today or listening to this service today have an heritage. Don't despise it. Don't turn away from it. No matter what your friends say, no matter what the world says, stand true. And so we review the past and reflect upon it and remember it. But we rededicate ourselves afresh today to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. the exaltation of his precious name to the extension of his kingdom. There are those listening today, you maybe haven't been here 100 years, but you've been here a lot of those years. You've saw a lot of the blessing. You've known a lot of the favors. I've lived through some of it myself, and I rejoice in it. But let's rededicate ourselves to the exaltation of Christ. And let's remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, he will show thee, and thy elders, and they will teach thee. And we say this morning, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. May God write his word upon our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Father in heaven, write thine own word upon every heart, we ask of thee, for the glory and for the praise and the honor of thy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The words of the hymn, we keep our seats as we sing it. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. We keep our seats as we sing. Conclude with the benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen. Folk, you may have heard a few weeks ago that our brother Robert, our organist, I know Robert doesn't like a fuss, but I think we can't let this pass. 30 years of playing our organ in the church here. It's a long time. Now I'm going to tell you what age Robert was when he started. He hasn't had a big birthday yet, so you're all right, Robert. But we want you just to come and accept this copy of God's Word, which has been suitably inscribed to mark the occasion. And I know this has taken in three ministries, isn't that right? The end of Mr. Whiteside's sort of, and beginning of, and through Mr. Irwin, and now almost to the end of mine, and hopefully beyond that. So you're going to really be in the history books, Robert. But come and accept this, please, from us, from the Kirk Session Committee congregation here in Ballygowan. I haven't handled it all over, so if you take that bit there, and then we want just to be a photograph. You don't mind taking your mask off for a moment, and we'll have a wee photograph here with you and I together. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much, folks.